Today's daf is daf Tesamin Aleph. We're going to begin on Chesamin Beis with the Gemara of Amar Mar. And you'll see that just a few lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of the daf. Amar Mar, we had a braisa back on daf Vav Amin Aleph about Ha'omed Al Ha'eskupa, a person is standing on the threshold. And mutal taltil besocha bein lirshus harabim bein lirshus hayochid lehepach. So the status of this iskupa is that of a makom ptur, and the Baal HaBayis is allowed to place an object from his rishus hayochid down onto this makom ptur. The ani who's out in rishus hayochid would be allowed to pick up the object from the iskupa, which is a makom ptur, and take it out to Rishus HaRabim. Ubilvad, however, there's one limitation. Shlo yitol mi Baal HaBayis, v'nosein la'ani, u'me'ani nosein la'Baal HaBayis. If there's a middleman who's going to receive the object in the makom ptur on the iskupa from the Baal HaBayis, and then hand over the object to the ani who's outside in Rishus HaRabim, so that in effect the malacha was done, was accomplished with the help of this middle person. So you had the Baal HaBayis who began the akira, and you had the ani who completed maleches hotzah with a hanocha, but in the middle you had a hanocha b'makom ptur. And basically it's like a malacha that went from Rishus HaRabim out into Rishus HaYochid through a makom ptur. So the Gemara says, Lema tevi tuvta de rova, because the Braisa says, Shloshtam pturim, all three of them are potur. No one is chayv achatis, no one violated any Torah. There was no violation of maleches hotzah. And this should be a tuvta to rova, because Omar Rava, we had a statement of rova, Hamavir chayfetz mitchilas arba lesof arba, Birshus HaRabim. If a person picks up an object in Rishus HaRabim at one point X, and he carries it 4 amos, and Rishus HaRabim puts it down at point Y, 4 amos away from where he started, Afal Pishaviro Derech Olav, even if he carried the object above his head, which would be above 10 Tfachim, and as we said back in the Braisa on Daf Vavun Aleph, Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim. Above 10 Tfachim is a makom ptur. He brings it down below Asara, and he's chayev. In other words, even though he started from one point and ended at another point in Rishus HaRabim 4 amas later, but since he took it through a makom ptur above Asara Tfachim, you would have thought that he should be potter, says Rava. He's chayav, because we look at the akira, we look at the hanocha, and we have avaras dalet amos. Here too, if we look at the akira, and we look at the hanocha, we have a hotzah, mirshus hayoch, mirshus harabim. So Gemara answers, hasam lo noch, avhocha noch. There in the case of Rava, he never did a hanocha when he carried it above his head, 10 tfachim high. So although the object went through Rishus HaRabim and through a makom ptur until he ended up 4 amas later in Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, he never actually made a hanoch in a makom ptur. So we view it as one continuous havara. But here in our case, there's a person who's standing in the middle on the iskup, on this threshold, and he receives the object. He does a hanocha, because the object is in his hands. The moment that the Baal HaBayis inside puts the object down in his hands on the iskupa, that's hanocha in the makom ptur. And then there's a brand new akira from the makom ptur, taking it out through by the action of the ani out into Rishus HaRabim. And clearly in the case of Rava, had he made a hanocha l'mal me'asara in the middle of the dalet amos, he would be potur. And we see that Meleches Avaras Arba Amos B'Rishus HaRabim is made up of three parts, the Akira, the Avara, and the Hanocha. But we need that A, the Akira, and B, the Hanocha, have to be Lamata Me'Asara, within Asara, but the Avara itself could be above Asara. Why? Because the Chavetz was Nekar in one place and it was munach in another place. Not so in the case of Shloshtan in our Brisa Viskupa, even though there was no actual Hanukkah the Chafetz when it reached the Avir, the Iskupa, but nevertheless, since the Chafetz reaches the Yad of the middle person who's standing on the Iskupa, that's considered a Hanukkah. And that's where the Pu'ula of the Akira ends, and that's where a new Pu'ula of Akira will begin in a Makom Patur. Now we're on Daf Tesam and Aleph, and we're looking at the two dots on the first line, Acherim. Acherim is Rabbi Meir, whose his opinion was quoted back in the Brais on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Acherim Omrim, others say that Iskupa, the status of Iskupa, is not that of a Makom Patur, but rather Meshameshes Shtei Rishuyos. It has the status of both Rishus HaRabim sometimes, and sometimes considered Rishus HaYochid. It all depends. Ketzad? Bizman Shapesach Pasuach, if the door is open, then everyone inside the Rishus HaYochid, inside the house, has access to this Iskupa, and we view the Iskupa as a continuation of the Rishus HaYochid and Kilifnim. That's called Kilifnim. But if the Pesach is null, if the door that on top of this Iskupa is locked, is closed, then Kilichutz. Then we view the Iskupa as if it belongs to the Rishus HaRabim. So let's assume that the Pesach Noul is on the inside of the house, meaning smack up against the Iskupa, and when he opens the door, then the Iskupa is defined as a continuation of the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara now is going to ask Akasha, why is it then when the door is open, it is considered a continuation of the Rishus HaYochid? We understand that there's something called a Mavui, which we've defined in the past. This is an alleyway. All the chatzeros spill into this mavui. And Chazal say that the mavui, although it has three mechitzos, there's no permission to carry in the mavui without what we call a lechi or a korah. So let's assume right now, as the Gemara is going to assume in the Kasha, that this distinction that the Acherim are making between vis-a-vis the Iskupa, if its door is open or locked, is talking about an Iskupa which is at the end of the Mavui and connects the Mavui, which is Rishus HaYochid, to the Rishus HaRabim. And the door is open, it's considered an extension of the Mavui of the Rishus HaYochid. The door is locked, it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, the status of the Iskupa changes. It's either Rishus HaYochid or it's a Rishus HaRabim. Now, in order to be matir this Mavui, forget about the Iskupa for one moment, we need a Lechi. Now that Lechi is going to be at the entrance into the Mavui from the Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara asks the following question. The Afal Gav de Lesle Lechi, there is a Lechi to be matir the Mavui, and that's fine. But there's no Lechi to be matir the Iskup itself. The Iskup itself needs its own Lechi. And how do I know this? For Omar Rav Choma Barguya Omar Rav Tocha Pesach, the inside of the Mavui. In other words, we're talking about the width of the Iskupa. Tzarech lechi acher latiro. We need another lechi to be matir the Iskupa, to allow us to carry in the Iskupa. So that if the door of the Mavui, the Pesach HaMavui, is open, it would seem from the Acherim that we can carry from the Mavui into the Iskupa, and the Iskupa is a continuation of the Rishus HaYochid. Well, that's really not so. We really need an additional lechi, to be matir, the scoop itself. Now let's explain the following. That the iskupa is the area when you come from Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui. On the let's imagine that the Mavui has right the two walls on the right and the left. As you're entering into the Mavui from Rishus HaRabim, you're entering into the iskupa. You have a wall on your right. You have a wall on your left. You go down the Mavui to a kosel, because we're talking about a Mavui Shein of Mefulosh, which is at the end of this Mavui. Now, at this point, in order to be Matir Tiltal in the Mavui, you need a Lechi. Imagine this Lechi is smack up against, I'm just choosing arbitrarily, the left side as you go into Rishus HaRabim. And the Lechi will have a width. Again, if you're looking at the lechi, standing in front and looking at the lechi will have a width that will cover the iskupa. Right? So you have the iskupa, let's say, goes in X number of tfachim, and you've got a lechi on the side that covers those X number of tfachim. Of course, that lechi will be matir tiltal the mavui. But, according to Rav Chama Bar Guria, it will not be matir the tiltal in the iskupa. We need another lechi. V'chitema, and you might say that maybe Rav Chama Bar Guria would hold that if this iskupa is a very small iskupa and it doesn't have the dimensions of four tefachim square, then it doesn't need an extra lechi. And maybe the Brisa is talking about this kind of a smaller iskupa, the lespe arba, it doesn't have four tefachim by four tefachim, and therefore it doesn't need its own lechi. But that's not so either. Why? V'omar Rav Chama Bar Guria Marav, the same Rav Chama says in the name of Rav, that Tocha Pesach, the Mavui itself, Afal Pisha Ein Bo Arba Arba, even though it doesn't have these larger dimensions, a very small, modest iskupa, nevertheless Tzorach Lechi Acher Latiro. The Lechi, the Mavui, is not enough to be matir the iskupa itself. So how could the Braisa say in the name of the Acherim that iskupa, when the door is open, is part of Rishus HaYochid? Now let's understand that the reason why the iskupa, even if it's less than Arba Arba, needs its own lechi, is because although the lechi was placed here for the purpose of the mavui, that's not the relevant factor. We have a principle in Masechta Erevin called Lechi HaOmed Me'elav, which is the Shita of Abaye, that Lechi doesn't have to be put up specifically for a certain purpose. Even if the Lechi happens to be there, it could be Matir Tiltal in the Mavui. So why can't this Lechi, which was placed there for the purpose of being Matir the Mavui, why can't it serve a double function and help you for the scoop as well? And the answer is because the halach of lechi is that from the chud means the end of the lechi, lebifnim, going towards the mavui, that's where you have an effective lechi. The lechi doesn't work towards the outside of the lechi, meaning facing Rishus HaRabim, but rather towards the inside of the lechi. That's mikatze or milechud halechi ula bifnim. So once I walk into this mavi through the iskupa and I get to the point where the width of the lechi, as it's flattened up against the side of the kosel, we mentioned the left side of the kosel, when I get to that end, from that point and on, that's where you have, so to speak, the fourth machitza. But from the point of the end of the lechi going towards the Rishus HaRabim, that's not included in the lechi. Now, the nafkamina is going to be whether you can carry in the mavui, it's in the iskup itself. And what we're saying is that according to Rav Chama, you're not allowed to be metaltel in the iskup itself. It needs a separate lechi. So Gemara answers, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav, Hocha biskupas mavuyas kinon. We're not talking about a case of a mavui that was huchshar, you know, that the tikkun that you did to allow carrying in the mavui was done through a lechi, but rather through a korah. So again, we knew we were talking about neskupas mavui, but when he says beskupas mavui askinon, what he means to point out is that we have a door that opens up into the mavui, and what we need is now a matir for the scoop itself. And the answer is the matir that we have for the scoop is not the lechi, because that lechi would only be matir from its end and inwards, but it wouldn't help you for the scoop. But rather, we're talking about a mavui whose hechsher was through a korah. Now, what's the situation of this korah, of this beam on top? Chetzio mikura. Let's look at the eskupa. Part of the half of the eskupa is underneath the kirui, meaning underneath the beam on top. V'chetzio ena mikura. But half of the eskupa faces towards the rishus harabim, and it's not covered. And it's not covered by the korah. And this is the case that's being dealt with in the achirim in the brisa. And what's the status of the eskupa? And the answer is the following. Kiruyav klape pnim. There's part of the eskupa which is towards the inside. And that part of the eskupa is underneath the ceiling of the korah. And pesach pasuach kilifnim. And here's where the brisa says that if the door is opening, then the status of that eskupa, as far as the part that is covered by the korah, is kilifnim. Why? Because as long as the door is open, the korah serves to be matir anything inside the korah. Meaning you take the outer lip of the korah, that edge, and you imagine as if there was a mechitza going down from the top of the korah to anything that's beneath the korah. So the korah is matir, anything that's beneath the korah, which would mean that as long as the door is open, then you could be metaltel in that part of the eskupa that is underneath the korah. Now, the korah itself, as we said before, is coming to be matir the mavui. Once the korah is matir the mavui, it can be matir the eskupa that's underneath the korah. So the korah is matir everything, and that's called pesach pasuach. But if on the other end the pesach is null, the door is closed, then the entire eskupa outside the door is excluded from the korah and kilichutz, and it has the status of rishus harabim. You would not be allowed to be metaltel in the eskupa, even in that part of the eskupa that is below the korah, because since the delis is closed, that creates a hefsek between the eskupa and the mavui. The eskupa is no longer connected to the mavui, so the korah could be matir to the mavui, including the eskupa, as long as the door is open. Once you close the door, then the eskupa is cut off from the mavui, and the korah itself, even though it's on top of that part of the eskupa, the inner part of the eskupa, if you're going from rishus harabim inside, nevertheless, it's not part of the mavui. And if it's not part of the mavui, then it cannot be considered batel to the mavui, it cannot be considered the extension of the mavui, and it cannot be included in the heter of the korah. And therefore, it would not be matir any part of the eskupa, as we said, not even the part of the eskupa that is underneath the korah. Let's just emphasize one important point. The size of the eskupa underneath the kirui is less than dalet tfachim. If let's say you had a kirui that would cover all the way out to the beginning of the skupa, the Rosh Hashanah side of the skupa, the entire skupa, which had dalet fachim, was covered by the korah, then we would apply the principle of chuda hachitzon Shalakor Yorid Lamata, Vesose Vesamaku Kmabachit. So once you have four tefachim, that would be a sizable amount that would allow you to set up a third mechitza, and the scoop would then become a rishus hayochit, and you'd be allowed to be metaltal in the escupa, because the escupa now has the dimensions. It has a korah which is above it, and it's above, it covers the four tefachim. Then we would say that the outside lip of the korah is a mechitza that goes down. And keep in mind that you have a mechitza on your right side, that's the kosel above. You have a one on the left side, so you now have an area that is completely surrounded by mechitzas. And if that be the case, then even if the door was closed, you'd be allowed to carry in this escupa, because the mamish has four mechitzas. But we're talking about an escupa which is less than four tefachim. So the part that is covered by the kiri is less than four tefachim, and therefore when the door is closed, and we no longer see that the escupa is batel to the mavui, now the escupa is a separate entity, and we cannot apply the law of chuda hachison shalakor yorid lamata v'sosem, because you have less than arba amos. So that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that we view the outside of the korah as if it goes down and sets up its own mechitza, that doesn't apply for an area that doesn't have arba al arba. All this is Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Now we go on to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar, li olam b'yiskupas bais. The bais is talking about a threshold into a house, not into a mavi, as we said before. Askinan, this is the case in the bais. Ukegon shekera b'shtei koros. We're talking about a case where you have, entering into the house, you've got a wall on your right, which is dalet tefachim, and the same on your left. And on top, you have a korah, which has two different beams on them, going from right to left. Each beam is less than four tefachim, and the separation between the two beams is less than three tefachim. Kigon shekera b'shtei koros. So the kirui here, the korah on top, is made up of two koros that are going from right to left. Ein bazuar ba, v'ein bazuar ba. None of these two koros have four tefachim. V'ein bein zu l'zu shlosha. There's no three tefachim separating the two koros. So the koros are within a distance of less than three tefachim, one from the other. V'deles b'emtza. There's a door to the bayis, which is underneath this open area between the two koros. That's where the door is located. I have a picture of it here. I wish I could show it to you. In any event, so pesach pasuach kilifnim. If the door is open, then the iskupa has the same din as the bayis, and you'd be allowed to carry the skupa. Why? Because since these two koros are considered one continuous korah, as long as the door is open, because the airspace between one korah and the other is less than three tefachim, and now we apply the principle of lavud, so it's if the entire width of these two koros together make up four tefachim, the two koros now combined to each other have now four tefachim. And therefore, once we have four tefachim, and there's a door on the right and a door on the left, the outer lip of this korah now, made up of four tefachim, goes all the way down and it forms a mechitza. And basically now we have an escupa that's covered by four mechitza, surrounded by four mechitzas. The escupa now has the status of Rishus HaYochid, and you're allowed to be metaltil. But if the Pesach is no'ul, and mind you, the Pesach is located, this door, exactly underneath that middle area, that Pachos Migimul Tfachim, that separates the two koros on top, then you can no longer be mitzari if you can't integrate the two koros into one, because there's a hefsek, there's a door that's mafsika between these two koros. It sets up a wedge and separates the two. And now, the koros are not considered one, We cannot consider them as if they were connected through the din of lavud. We deal with each korah in and of itself. And since the korah that covers this area of the iskupa, which is outside the door, right, that area does not have four tfachim, so we cannot consider the sfas, the outside lip of the korah, as if it goes down. So therefore, the iskupa is now, since the area outside the door is less than rochav arba arba tfachim, we cannot consider it as if it is covered by the mechitza. Therefore, it's batal to the rishus harabim, and it has the same din as rishus harabim. So let's just summarize the sugya as we have it. What we said in the name of the achirim to be mechalik, to distinguish between the iskupa, if the pesach is pasuach and null, has two interpretations. According to Rav's interpretation, we're talking about the iskupa of a mavui, and the hechsher of this mavui was with a korah. The korah is situated in such a way that it covers the inner part of the iskupa, but not the outer part of the iskupa. And therefore, if the opening of the mavui is open, then the korah has the ability to be machshir not only the mavui, but also the iskupa below it. If, on the other hand, the pesach is null, then it sets up a hefsek in the korah from the mavui, and the korah is not going to be matir the iskupa. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, says we're talking about the iskupa of a bayis, and that iskupa is covered by two koros. Neither one of them have four tfachim. We can connect the two koros, we didn't love it if they're not separated by three tfachim, and therefore the kiri now is considered four tfachim. The opening of the house, if opening the door, if it's open, that would set up an additional mechitza, but if the opening of the door is closed, then it's a mafsik between the two koros, and the iskupa has a kirui, which is less than four tfachim, and therefore the area of the iskupa that's outside the door, since it doesn't have a korah four tfachim, it doesn't have the shear that we need for the din of pitikra yorid vesosim, it doesn't have that fourth mechitza, and therefore we see it as a hemshech of the rishus harabim. Now let's go on with the words of the achirim in the Braisa. The Braisa says that you're not allowed to be metaltel from rishus hayochid, from one rishus hayochid to another rishus hayochid. Let's read the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Mimhoisa iskupa gvoa asora." If the iskupa is 10 tfachim high, urechava arbon, it has the width of 4 tfachim. I can just imagine that there's a staircase leading you up to this iskupa. So the Braisa says, in the name of the achirim, arezu rishus li atzma. The iskupa is a rishus hayochid, just like a bayis, because since it has the gova, it has the height of asar tfachim, it's like a tail, and we imagine the mechitzas going up, and it has a shetach, it has an area of 4 tfachim square. Nevertheless, despite the status of the iskupa as a rishus harabim, it's a rishus unto itself, which means that you're not allowed to carry into this iskupa, even from the house itself, even though you're going from one rishus hayochid to another rishus hayochid. The Gemara says, Mesayel, in this sports, the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the statement of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Rav Meir is the Achirim of the Braisa, called Bokum Shatamotzi Shtei Rishuyos. If you have two Rishuyos, and Hein Rishus Achas Bidinam, they have the same din, right? One is a little bit higher than the other. Kigon, for example, Amud, Birshus Ayoch Gavoa Sorachova Arba, if you have something protruding from the ground going up, he calls it an amud, a pillar, and it has the width of arba tfachim and arba tfachim, and not only that, it is 10 tfachim high, and you and I would say that if he's in a rishus hayochid and this amud is in the middle of rishus hayochid, you'd be allowed to put something down onto the amud. No, say the achirim, says Rabbi Meir, also lekatef olav. Why? What's the problem here? It's a rishus hayochid within a rishus hayochid. The answer is gzeira mishum tel rishus harabim. Imagine that that same pillar was located not in rishus hayochid, but rather it was in rishus harabim. And it has all the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. It's got 10 tefachim in height, 4 by 4 in width. It is Rishus HaYochid within Rishus HaRabim. And a person who's carrying a bundle, for example, Rishus HaRabim, he'd be tempted to put down his, you know, his bundle on top, or while he's shifting it on his shoulders, he would take a little bit of a rest and put it down on this amud. And that would be a Meleches HaTzah Mamash. He's taking it from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, would be Achnosa technically, and that would be a violation of an Isur Torah. So even though in our case it would be Mutta because this Amud is in Rishus HaYochid, but nevertheless it's very easy to confuse that with the case of the Amud in Rishus HaRabim. And now we turn to Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to give us a number of Isurim that you're not allowed to start with these involving occupations when it's time for Tefillas Mincha, because we're afraid that he might miss Mincha time. He gets so preoccupied, he won't be aware of the time, and Mincha will pass. Now, even though our Masechet is dealing with Masechet Shabbos, and not with Hilchas Tefillah, and these laws that we're about to learn apply even during the week, not on Shabbos, but nevertheless, it's similar to what we discussed back on Yedaf, similar to some of the discussions we're going to have in the Mishnayos here about what you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos Somach L'Chashecha, what you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos Somach L'Chashecha, all because we're afraid that people will make a mistake in the timing. So what is he prohibited? Here's the list. Lo Yeshiv Adam Fleas Safar, he's not allowed to take a haircut. Somach L'Mincha, before the time for Mincha. Somach usually means about a half hour before Mincha. We're not sure exactly whether we're talking about Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana. The Rambam actually codifies this halach in the sixth parak of Tefillah, and it's referring to Zman Mincha Gedola. So he shouldn't start a haircut. He might forget to daven on time. And again, we'll see the Gemara about this in a minute. Lo yikanes adam lemerchatz. A person shouldn't go into a bathhouse. Lo lebursaki, into a tannery. Lo lechol, he shouldn't set up a banquet, a suda. Lo ledin, he shouldn't set up a din Torah. However, mischilu, if he already began any of the above, then ein mafsik, we don't force him to stop and terminate in the middle. He'll finish what he started and then he'll daven. However, mafsik in l'kriyat shema, if he began any of these preoccupations before he recited kriyat shema, then he has to terminate them. The ein mafsik in l'tefillah, perhaps kriyat shema is d'oraisa, and therefore we're more machmir, tefillah is only d'rabbanon. Again, that's going to help us for the shitas haramban. It won't help us for the shitas harambam. So we're going to have to explain that in the case of Kriyat Shema, the time period is a little bit more limited, and we have more of a chashash that he might get involved and miss man Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Hi, Somach L'Mincha, when the Mishnah says Somach L'Mincha, you're not allowed to start any of these occupations, what Mincha are we talking about? Right? Are we talking about Mincha Gedola, which is a half hour after Chatzos Hayom? Ilem L'Mincha Gedola, my lo, why shouldn't he get involved in beginning these occupations? He's got plenty of time until Mincha time. He's got hours and hours. Even during the winter, he has a whole bunch of hours. Ha'ika Shehus B'Yom Tuv, he's got many hours. What are we afraid of? Ella, it must be, therefore, by process of elimination, Somach L'Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana is 9.5 hours into Mincha. It means it's halfway between Chatzos and Shkia. And now, in Mincha Ketana, we'll call it 9.5 hours. Then, we with the beginning of the 10th hour, we're really getting close to Shkia. And therefore, we have to be concerned that he might miss Zman Mincha. Rora is not happy with that Ukimta either, because in Mischilu Ein Mafsikin, why would the Mishnah say that once you began, and now you're at Mincha Ketana, almost at Mincha Ketana time, you can continue with your occupation? You might really forget Mincha. Name it Tevi Tuvta the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This should be a contradiction to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came in Shigiyaz Man HaMincha. Once you get to Mincha Ketana, Osul Yodam Shiyitom Klum. Kolim Shispal Tfilas Mincha. He can't eat anything. The language of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asu Litom Klum, seems to imply that even if he began eating, he's not allowed to continue eating. And yet the Mishnah says if he began eating, Samach L'mincha, now we're saying it's Mincha Ketana, he's allowed to continue his Suda. So where it says, lo, we're going to have to go back to our original interpretation. Li'olam Samach L'mincha G'dola. We're talking about midday. We're talking about a half hour after Chatzos. And that's Mincha G'dola time. And therefore there's no contradiction to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's talking about Mincha Ketana. Now you'll ask me the question, but he has Shus Harbe, he's got plenty of time. What are we so concerned about? And the Gemara answers, Bitispores Ben Elyasa. Ben Elyasa was actually married to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's daughter. He spent a lot of money to learn about how to implement a Tispores, a special haircut, which was designated for the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara derives this mitzvah of the special haircut of a Kohen Gadol from a pasuk. Now, this pasuk is in Sefer Yechezkel, and it describes the tisporus of a Kohen Gadol as V'rosham yolo yegalchu uperalo yishalechu and kasum yechmus yechasmu esra sheyem. And Rashi explains that kasum yechasmu means that it's an organized situation like kusemes that were organized in their sheaves, which means the head of one of them was right next to the part that's attached to the ground of the other one. In the case of a haircut, the mitzvah is to cut the hair of a Kohen Gadol in such a way that the top part of one hair is right next to, if you would fold it over, to the beginning, the root of the next hair over. And you should never have any hairs that overlap one on top of the other. Obviously, that takes a tremendous amount of skill to learn how to do such a haircut. And not only that, it takes a long time to do this haircut. And therefore, the Mishnah prohibits getting involved in this haircut, Samach L'mincha G'dola, because it could take hours until he finishes the haircut. V'lola merchatz, what does it mean that he can't go into a bathhouse? L'kula milsa de merchatz. He wants to go into the merchatz for everything. Number one, he wants to shampoo his hair. Number two, he wants to wash his body in hot water. Then he wants to wash his body off in cold water. Then he wants to go into the sauna, into the shvitzbad, lazia. This is an entire procedure. I mean, the whole culture at that time, based on Roman culture, was built around these batei merchatzos. It's a very long and preoccupation. Lo lebursakei, he goes into tannery. Lebursari gedola, it's a very large tannery. He's in charge. There are many, many different hides, and they have to be tanned. And he might get so involved in checking out all these different hides to see which one are ready for tanning and how the tanning process is going, he'll get so preoccupied, he'll forget to daven mincha on time. V'lo lechol b'suda gedola. He has a 5-course meal, a very very sophisticated banquet, and he might get so involved. And finally, v'lo ledin b'tchilas adin. Right, he's getting involved at the beginning of a judgment. And the Dayanim, for example, will have to hear all the different claims and the counterclaims of the litigants. And that's going to be such a preoccupation. He may forget to daven mincha. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, he says, Li'olam b'tisporas didan. It could be a regular classic haircut. And l'chatchila mai lo, why shouldn't we get involved at Samach L'mincha G'dola when it's so early? Lo yeshev, gzeira shem yishavar azuk. It's possible that the scissors of the barber will get broken, and the barbershop will go to look around for a replacement scissors, and the tispores, this high haircut, will continue into the mincha time. And that's how we're going to interpret all the cases in our Mishnah, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Alola Merchatz, Lazia B'Almi, even though he's only going into the Shvitzbad, he's only going into the sauna, but nevertheless, L'chatchila my lo, why is this something that he shouldn't do? Gzeira shemi yis alpha, which literally means he might faint. In other words, he might get very weak and he won't get a chance to be mispal on time. So a sauna could make a person extremely tired, extremely weak. V'lo le bursaki, even if it's a regular classic tattery, but liyuni bi alma, and he wants to check out his hides, but lechatchila mai lo, he shouldn't do this at this time of samach lemincha gedolah, because dilma chazi pseida bizvinte, because he may see that he's taking a loss. Some of his hides began to spoil, and umatrid, he'll be so torrid in his tsar and his financial loss that he might not get a chance to be mispal on time. And the Rambam says that Yishlach Yodel L'Sakin is a Hefseid. He'll start seeing how he could limit his damage, do damage control. Other Rifarshim say that it means he'll be Torud in his Tsar, he won't be able to focus on his davening. And this could be relevant in our time to people who in the afternoon, you know, check their stocks, especially this time of the world when the stocks are going down. He'll be in a state of Tirud of Tsar. V'lo Lechol, even if it's a Suda Ketana, regular classic meal, Chathila Mailo, Dilma Asilim Shuche, perhaps he will continue with his meal, get extended until the time of Mincha will pass by. And V'lo L'din, B'gemar Din, even if we assume that the Din has already begun and they're about to hand down a decision, the verdict is ready to be voted and decided, but nevertheless, even if all the deliberations are behind them, still, Chathila Mailo, he shouldn't get involved because Dilma Chazi Taima V'sasa Din. Perhaps one of the judges will all of a sudden see a new insight, a new perspective, and they'll say, let's start from the beginning, and we'll have to again reevaluate the evidence, hear the claims and the counterclaims one time around, and the Din will continue into Zman Mincha. Now, the Mishnah says that if he began any of these actions, then he doesn't have to terminate them. May emasai ascholas disperse. When is it considered as if he began a haircut that he doesn't have to be mafsik? Omer of Ovin Mishianiach Mafores Shel Saporim Al Birkov. The barber puts a certain kind of a cloth as an apron over his knees so that all the hairs won't fall on his begadim. Now, it could be that we're not talking about the barber because he's in a standing position, but the person who's taking a haircut, he's sitting down, his knees are going to get all full of the hair, so he puts something over his hair. That's the beginning of Tisporus. May Messiah Scholas Merchots, when is it considered that he began bathing Omer of Oven, Mishi Ya'ora Mafarto Heimena? When he takes off his apron, notice there's an outer a garment that he wears. Once he takes that garment off, he has begun the process of rechitz, of bathing. When do we consider this? If he began the tanning process, Misha Yikshar Ben Ksefov, he rolls up his sleeves and ties them behind his neck, and that's the beginning of the process of tanning. When it's begun, is achila, such that he doesn't have to stop. Rav Amar, here we have machlokes. Rav says Mishiyitol Yodav, once he washes his hands for the Suda. Rabbi Hanin Omar Mishiyatir Chagora, from the moment in which he opens up his belt, and we'll soon see that there was a minog to open up the belt before they started eating. This is a minog that was common in Bavel, and because the belt is tight and it'll interfere with his enjoyment as the food goes down into his stomach, they would start the meal by loosening their belt. V'lo plig, the Gemara says, no machlok shin Rav and Rabbi Chanina, they're addressing two different areas of the world. Ha, Rabbi Chanina is addressing lawn, meaning here in Bavel, and there they would loosen their belt before they started eating. V'ha, but Rav's formulation was lahu, was for them in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have this minug of loosening their belt, and therefore, Netil Siddayim is the kickoff, is the beginning of the Suda. Now, after the Gemara has mentioned what's considered the beginning of the Suda for Bnei Bavel, who would loosen their belt, Abayi now wants to clarify what's the din of the Bnei Bavel as far as Ma'ariv is concerned. In other words, it's time for Ma'ariv, but on the other hand, they started a meal. How did they start the meal? By loosening their belt. Omer Abayi, Hani Chevron de Bavloi, our friends here in Bavel, that usually loosen their belt before they start the Suda, is Laman Diorat Filas Arbis Rishus. If we hold like Rabbi Yeshua, whose opinion it is in Brachos Daf Chaf Zayin Amid Beis that Arvis is only Rishus, is therefore Kevan Dishrole Hem Yone. Hem Yone is the Aramaic counterpart of Chagorah of the belt. Once they loosen their belt, Lo Metshachinele, we shouldn't be Matriach them to stop their Seuda and tie their belt again and recite Tefillas Arvis, but rather we're going to allow them to complete their Seuda and Daven Ma'ariv. Now the implication here is that we're going according to the Man Yomer Tefillas Arvis Rishus. So the Gemara asks the following question, Uleman Yomer Chova Matrachinele? And if you're telling me that Tefillas Arvis is a Chova, that's a Shita Ram Gamliel in Brachos, then he would have to tie his belt and Daven Ma'ariv, and then he could go back to his Seuda. How is that possible? For Tefillas Mincha, we said in our Mishnah regard to Mincha, that even if he began his Seuda, and Mincha is a Chova, is the Kuliyal Machova, nobody, Utna, the Mishnah says, in Mischiu Ein Mafsikin, if he began his meal, which means he loosened his belt, he's not Mafsik for Mincha. Right? V'yom Rav Chanin, as we saw, Rav Chanin says, Mishiyatir Chagoro. So we don't demand that he tie tighten his belt again in Davin, and that's in the case of a Tefillas Chova, then certainly in the case of Ma'ariv, which may or may not be a Chova, depending on the Machlokes between Gamliel, who holds the Chova, and Rabbi Yeshua holds the Rishus, and Abai said that his din of we're not going to force him to tighten his belt again in Davin Ma'ariv is only according to Rabbi Yeshua who holds the Rishus, implying that if it was Rabbi Gamliel's Shita that Arvis was a Chova, we would be Matriach him to tighten his belt and Davin. So the Gemara answers, there's a difference between Ma'ariv at night and Mincha during the day, Hasam, with regard to Tefillas Mincha. If he started his meal, Lo Shchicha Shichrus, it's during the day. People don't usually drink during the day, and they don't get drunk, and there's no Chshash of Shichrus. So we don't think he's going to lose his Tefillah. And once he started by loosening his belt, we're going to allow him to continue his meal and then Daven Mincha later. But Hacha, here in the case of a nighttime davening, is Shchicha Shikrus. It's very common to drink during the Seuda at night, and people get drunk, and therefore, according to Rav Gamliel, who holds a Tefillas Arvis Zachova, we'd have to be mafsik for Tefillas Arvis because of this Kshash of Shem Yishtakir, he might get drunk. Inami, Gemara gives another answer. B'mincha, with regard to Mincha, Kevan de Kvile Zimna, because it's a set time for Mincha, and he can daven until the evening, is Mirsas, he's very nervous about it, he's anxious, Flo Osi Lemifshe, he'll be careful not to allow this man of Mincha to go by, he's constantly aware of Mincha time, but Arvis, Kevan de Kuli Laila, this man Arvis, he can daven Arvis during the entire course of the night, up until Alosa Shachalom Mirsas, he's not in that state of tension, V'osi Lemifsha, and he might get drunk, or partially drunk, and before you know it, it's alos hashach, there's no time, or maybe you'll fall asleep, there's no time for Ma'ariv. Therefore, if you're like Rabbi Gamliel, who maintains that Tefillas Arvis Chova, you'd have to stop for Ma'ariv. And in that sense, Ma'ariv is more chomerdik than Mincha. Maskif, Lorav Sheshes, the Gemara is going back to Rabbi Chanin, who says that from the time you loosen your belt, you have to be mafsik, you don't have to be mafsik, you started your su'uda. Is Maskelev Shesha Trichusa Lemesar Hemyone? Is it really such a tircha to tie his belt that we have to consider as if he started his meal? You know, I understand if you start something, we don't force you to stop because it'd be a tircha to stop and then go back to it after tefillah. But here, what's the big deal? So he loosened his belt, let him tighten his belt. V'odin, furthermore, leku hachi velitzli. Why can't he just stand up and daven even if his belt is loose? So why did Rav Chanina say that he doesn't have to be mafsik because he already loosened his belt? Let him just daven as is. Well, what's the big deal? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Shenemar, because of the Pasuk in Amos, Hikon Lekras Elokecha Yisrael, a person has to prepare himself for tefillah before he comes in front of his Creator to pray, and therefore he shouldn't be mispalel in this loose belt. Now notice that the Gemara never answered the first question. The Gemara only answered the second question. And we find this quite often in Shas that the Gemara doesn't even bother answering two questions, it only answers one question. Ritva claims that the Gemara's second answer to the second kasha also covers the first kasha, because since hikon, it means you have to really put yourself together. It's not just enough to tie your belt, you have to really prepare yourself, and your clothes have to be presentable in a beautiful way for tefillah, and therefore that will be a tircha to get you into the hikon state, obligate you to prepare yourself once you've already begun. Technically, you've begun your suda. That's where we're going to stop here on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. And Amir Tzeshem, for tomorrow's daf, we'll start with Rav Bar Rav Huna, Rami, etc.